Hello and welcome to Stormboy Speaks. On today's bite-sized piece, we're talking about heroes and zeros. And what I mean by that is literally a number of things. Actors, we're talking about actors and actresses and social media and those influencers, those people. Are they heroes? Are they zeros? What are we saying? Well, I'll get into what I mean by this. So, first of all, just to use a silly example, but it really was interesting in that a friend of my mother's once said to my mom, my mother was explaining to her that she, you know, thought that Tom Hanks was a paedophile and involved in all this horrific stuff in Hollywood, which he undoubtedly is. I think he's the scum of the earth, and hope you're listening, Tom, you scumbag. Anyway, so she was, and she said her argument was, "Oh no, not Forrest Gump! It couldn't be him." And now the hilarious thing about this, of course, is that we live in a society where people actually believe that people are so naive and idiotic that they can believe that a man whose job it is to be an actor, and the clue's in the word there, is actually the character he plays, and just like him, right? And that he can't be anything else. And okay, so as I say here, so first of all, it's like, what is it that actors do? Well, yeah, that's right. They act. They act. And by the way, in case you think that, oh, you know, Tom Hanks could never be a bad guy, he always plays great, you know, good roles. And I'll get into that in a minute because I think it's an interesting point. But here's the thing. He's played a number of roles where he's a very, very, sick guy or whatever. One of them, if you haven't seen the film, it's worth seeing because it's a very interesting film about past lives and how that affects your current life. And allegorically, it is actually, I believe, very, very much on the money in many ways. It's certainly a simple way to look at how the karmic evolution of your personality or soul, whatever, affects the next one. And in it, at the beginning of the film, for instance, Tom Hanks is a very evil man who poisons this young guy on a boat in the, I don't know, 1400s, and he poisons him slowly over time and pretends he's a doctor to take his money. That won't ruin the film for you at all. Please watch it. It's much more complex than that. But in it, as I say, he plays that brilliantly. Now, I have no question to say that Tom Hanks is a good actor. He's a great actor. Very, very good. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about him as a person, right? Now, his job is being an actor. And there you go. He's played this other character. But all you can remember is when he played this, oh, this lovely little guy. He must be that guy, yeah. And I was saying, isn't it interesting is that, okay, so here's the thing. Actors do that as a job, right? That's what they do. They pretend for a living. We'll get into that again in a second. So, but here's the thing. So why would you for a second think that this person couldn't be the other thing? Okay, let's say he'd only ever played really lovely, you know, warm-hearted people, okay? So if I said to you, whoever you might be listening to this, look, could you play for 5 minutes, act out, you know, and maybe it's a silly game we're playing at a party or whatever. Could you act out, you know, I want you to be, you know, an evil mass murderer or whatever else, you know, or whatever it might be, something horrific, right? Jimmy Savile or somebody like this, right? A horrific person. Could you do it? Now, you try to do it. That's the goal. You try to do it. Now, some people won't be able to do that. Their nature won't allow it, right? They just can't pull it off. Other people can. I know I certainly could manage to do somebody who's quite wicked and evil as much as I could do somebody who's very pleasant. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. That doesn't mean either of us are naturally more given that way. What it means is that we probably have, and I tie this into the Cloud Atlas film, we probably experienced those things in our the multiplicity of our lives, in our cycle of lives. We have probably experienced what it is to be very nice or very mean, or whatever the things that we can act out to each other in a little game or whatever, we're more likely to have had some experience of. If we're really bad at it, we just can't do it. Then it's because we haven't experienced that in a past life. I would argue that, again, an old girlfriend of mine once said to me, you know, she couldn't really, she was becoming emotional because she'd started to work with some children who were, and people who were, they had a disability. I can't remember what the disability was exactly, but she said previously she couldn't relate to people who, you know, she couldn't relate to their pain or understand, you know, or feel sorry enough because she couldn't relate to their pain. And she started to work with people who were, I think it was deaf, and she'd really got upset by this and related to it in that kind of, you know, in that very connected sort of spiritual sense. That people talk of a lot these days. I'm trying to think of the word and I've forgotten. But anyway, the point is that she couldn't achieve that connection. Now, I was kind of shocked. I'm like, really? I find that quite easy to kind of, to empathize. That's exactly what I'm thinking. The word empathy, you know, everybody these days, I'm an empath. Yeah. Everybody's an empath, whatever. But the bottom line is, how much you can empathize with somebody else and put yourself in their shoes does say quite a lot, right? And I'm not just talking about the good people. So when you can see things from all perspectives, there's an article when I studied psychology many years ago. It's called being at stage six. And in psychology, when you're at stage six, the idea is that you can see all perspectives from all points of view. Now, that is probably impossible for 99.9% of humanity, but, you know, maybe a lot of people can see a number of different points of view. And my point here is that I'm saying, if you've had a past life in some way, you can probably, more likely, if you've experienced that in this life or other lives, you can relate and therefore empathize and therefore reflect that back. Now, if you haven't experienced that in your life or anything like it in previous lives, you may find it difficult to do so. So in this case with, you know, my ex-girlfriend who couldn't do this, that would be why. She just hadn't had that experience, it would seem, of what it was to suffer like these people at first, you see. Now, in the same way, as what I'm saying is, some people would be able to, because they've had these experiences, act that out. It doesn't mean that they're that person now, a really good person or a really evil person, whatever that means. It doesn't mean they're that now. It simply means that they can reflect that. So equally, you could say, well, it doesn't mean that Tom Hanks is that evil person, right? Yeah, well, it doesn't by nature just because he can act it, right? But the point is, here's the thing. If you can't act it, then you definitely know you haven't experienced it, if you see what I mean. So it's questionable about whether you could still be that person. That's open for debate because it depends on circumstances. Only you can answer that question. You may have had to go through many lessons to learn where you're at, and you realize now, oh, actually, that was a really thing that didn't benefit me at all, but I know what it was like to be really wicked, let's say. And so I'm aware of it. I could act it out, but I don't want to go back to doing that. So that's a possibility, isn't it? But if you've never had that experience, then in any lifetime, you cannot reflect that. That's my argument. So to get back to Tom Hanks and acting, what we're saying is that what's hilarious about this, as I say, is that people will take on board this idea that somehow you are, you know, one person you act. I mean, what a ridiculous notion. So he's getting away with it. And on top of this, not just is it his profession to do these things and he's good at it, but the fact is the way in which we worship. Of all the people in our society, what's hilarious here is, who are the people we worship the most? I mean, yeah, we worship sports stars, and that's kind of understandable because they're achieving something in a physiological way that maybe we couldn't, and we aspire to doing something with our physical selves, perhaps, right? But obviously, you know, people aspire after riches and wealth because they think that means something till they die, right? But here's the thing. What's funny about actors to me is that these people, and you have to put this in context, as much as, you know, I have respect for some actors, But most actors, let's be honest, what do you do? Well, remember when you were at school and, you know, you'd enjoy, I don't know, maybe you enjoyed doing art and stuff and somebody else enjoyed doing, I don't know, playing football, whatever, right? And then there was the one who enjoyed dressing up and you know, showing off on stage. And it's like, yeah, that's okay, that's cool. Maybe you're good at it and that's fine. What is he doing? Oh, let's pretend to be a lion. Okay, great. And that's great. And kids, it's a beautiful thing when children do it, right? It's beautiful, it's wonderful, innocence, right? And then, you know, they grow up and maybe they don't do those things as much. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing it as a way of telling a story. Story is amazing, beautiful things. Without stories, we would have nothing. So it's just because, as I made this point previously, the stories are a beautiful thing which we need because they're allegories and they tell us things about ourselves and they inspire us. And so stories are beautiful things. So films can be beautiful things. Books are beautiful things. The same thing. Now, in a film, you need people to portray these actions, hence actors, right? But in and of themselves, as was pointed out once by Quentin Crisp, of all people, said, you know, why would I live my life wanting to be like, pretend to be somebody else? I'm happy being who I am. That's the point, isn't it? It's like, so, and he was saying that a lot of actors that he knew were just didn't have anything about themselves. They had to be busy being, pretending to be somebody else. Well, in the same way, why is it that we worship most of all people who basically pretend to be somebody else all their lives? That's mainly what they do. And not just that. I mean, in effect, they're like the kid who just wants to play dress up and dance about on stage and show off. And, you know, that's okay when you're a kid, that's cool. And maybe that's okay to some extent when you're an adult, to some extent. But they're certainly not the people in my society, I would think, that I would wish to, you know, Lord praise upon the most. I mean, are they pioneers? Are they climbing Everest to inspire humanity to do amazing things? No. Are they healing the sick? No. Are they going around uniting humanity, teaching them things they've never known before to make them stronger and better? And, you know, are they doing any of these things? No. They're dressing up. Look at me. Oh, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm going to put this. I'm a lion now. Oh, yeah. Oh, look. Now I'm a dog. Oh, yeah. And now, I'm going to be like a fairy. Yeah, okay, great. That's brilliant. Yeah. Now, I know I'm taking the mickey. And it's fine. There are some amazing actors, you know, there really are. Not many actually, there's one or two. But Daniel Day-Lewis. Now, he is an insane actor because he happened to do a great film called The Boxer, which most people don't know. And he became an absolutely pro level, top of the class level pro boxer before he did it. He got his nose broken. He did everything. I admire him because he was literally doing bits of other people's lives. So that's an exception to the rule. But there are not many people in that category, let's be clear. And, you know, I'm saying it's interesting that we follow and we worship a category of people who are basically the kid in the corner who went dressing up and showing off on stage and everybody else was like, oh God, not again. And now them and their ego is ruling the world. Oh, I'm going to be great when I grow up. I'm going to be star. I'm going to be number one. It's like, yeah, you're great. And then they are, right? And the thing is, what we have to say is, We put them there. The people put them there because it's like you're going, oh yeah, wow, that's great, is it? Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's okay and everything. The film might be great. The story is telling might be great. But does that make the person doing it great? No. I mean, great, you're pretending to be something. Well done. I mean, it's an art and it has some relevance. I'm being a little bit harsh on actors here. I know there are some great actors. There really, really are some great actors. So I don't mean to take that away. But equally, I'm just putting it in perspective. I don't think these people that are, as they say, should be revered to the sense that they are. And I think it reflects the culture that we're in. You know, where we look at people in social media, and again, you revere them, and it's just they're living some fake life where they just take pictures of themselves when they're feeling happy, you know, or when they're looking good, doing this, doing that, and that's great and all, and that's brilliant. But you know, how much of your life, if you're doing that all the time, then you're again just acting out a fake life, even more fake. and even more meaningless. I mean, I don't need to go on about the meaninglessness of the idea of social media as a context. It's pretty readily obvious, right, to anybody with a brain cell, hopefully. And instead of using it to spread knowledge and ideas, which it should be used for, more often than not, as I say, it's used to spread egotistic ideas of, look, this is me, and this is what I'm eating, and this is my life, and these are the minutiae of my existence. And, you know, people think this is a useful or good thing. Well, you know, I have to disagree with that. In a massive way. And I have to say, on top of that, that one of the other extremely annoying things, if I'm honest about social media, is the fact that there's this idea that everything should be gratis, this idea of free information on everybody, this idea of, everybody should tell you up front about their life. What do you eat? What do you do this? What do you do that? And it's born from social media. So that everybody's going, you know, what about you? Where are you from? What's your name? Who are your relations? How tall are you? You know, none of your business. None of your business. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is everybody these days thinks that's a normal thing. So people might expect that. And the interesting thing is that mystery is kind of lost. And yet, here's the thing. The irony is the people who run things have got everybody so hypnotized into this that they give their knowledge away, every bit of information about them, 24/7, so that it can be used by advertising companies who are listening to you when you're on WhatsApp 24/7, you know, the ones suddenly, oh yeah, what's that you were saying? Oh, here's a product you might like. Why? How do you know that? Because I was listening to you on WhatsApp. Really? And you think the three-letter agencies aren't listening to you all the time when you're on the phone, anytime you mention anything that has to do with anything they might be interested in? Of course they are. Like, they're listening to this now, right? That's a given. They have been since the 40s. It's been known since then, right? Now, so the tech today is off the charts. They can be listening all the time if they want to. Of course, you don't listen to all the people all the time, but nonetheless. The idea is that this, as I say, this negativity of this giving everybody information has become the norm, and that's become normalized. So social media has been used, let's be clear here, to normalize this freedom of information being given to everybody all the time about you and everything about you. Oh, here's what I did last night. Here's as I said, you know, yeah, here's what did I when I went to the toilet before. Here's how many sheets of paper I used. I mean, really? That's what it is. It's that level of, it's like nobody wants to know that. No, in the same way, nobody has the right, nor should they wish to, know every little bit of minutiae about your life. Whatever happened to any sense of, you know, privacy? Oh, I've nothing to hide, really. That's nice for you, but nothing to hide doesn't mean I want the next door neighbor staring over me while I'm on the loo, does it? You know, is that what it means to you? Oh, I've nothing to hide, really? Okay, do you want to watch me while I sleep? Do you want to watch me while I eat, while I go to the toilet? Do you want to watch me? No. And so think about that. That is really what's being said here, this removal of privacy. And at the same time as your removal of privacy, the bitter irony is you're being taught that this is the norm, so you accept it like, you know, like a sheep, right? And so while you're accepting the norm of your privacy being pulled away from you in every realm, and then your friends who don't agree with it are like, oh, what's wrong with you? Have you got something to hide? Like you're in Hitler Youth. Oh, he's got something to hide, really? Or is he just like his own privacy, his own space? Like, leave me alone and fuck off, basically. To put it simply, that's how I think, but that's me. Here's the thing, even if you don't want to be as rude and, you know, to the point as I'm being, nonetheless, the point is, ask yourself this question. Isn't it interesting then, the same people who are in power, the secret societies are hence exactly that, secret societies that you are not involved in. So why don't the Rothschilds come up and tell us all about their secret societies? Why don't they, you know, the Club of Rome tell us all about their secret societies? And the CIA are listening now because I said Club of Rome, right? And not many people know about, right? So Google it. And, you know, or Bohemian Grove. Everybody knows about Bohemian Grove. Big Al, idiots dancing around, doing some ceremonial crap. Yeah, okay. So But they keep those things totally away from you. You know what you know about them, they don't want you to know anything. And now what they do is they give you disinformation. So what you do know is not exactly what you think it is. And, you know, they try and bias all that. I've told you that many times. But the bottom line is, how come there's this complete separation between what the elites do or those in power, their secret societies, and yet you're pushed into this corner of giving all your freedoms, all your information, everything about you to the state and to each other, you know? Well, you don't have to. You never have to. Stop playing the game. Stop being a sheep. And live your own life separately. You know what I mean? Have a think about that. Anyway, on that controversial note, I will wish you, as always, truth, freedom, and balance.